Inside on Business the News Hour is brought to you by the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, getting things done for you. CreamerLaw.com. Triplett Office Essentials, extraordinary service and solutions for your business. Triplets.com. And Iowa Computer Repair, you want your computer to work, and that's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Welcome to the News Hour, ladies and gentlemen. 25 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. Grateful, as always, that you're with us. We've got 63 degrees in the capital city. Looking for a low tonight somewhere near 46. And then for tomorrow, sunshine doth return to our part of the world. With us in studio is our friend Mike Caldwell. Mike is the guy behind what's called the Business Innovation Zone. Mike Caldwell, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the News Hour.
Thanks for having me.
And you see, we got you a chair this time.
You got me a chair.
You were whining last time you were here. You didn't have a chair.
I was just commenting.
Not necessarily whining. So you come in about once a month to talk about things that are going on with the Business Innovation Zone.
Right.
And we've got something pretty special from our friends in Iowa City.
Yes.
Roby Miller is with us online. And Roby, we're going to get to you in just a second on our newsmaker line. But I want to ask Mike to go ahead and outline a little bit about what is the Business Innovation Zone.
Sure.
And then we'll bring Roby.
So the biz is part of the Greater Des Moines Partnership, and it's basically there to help high-growth potential startups all through central Iowa. People anywhere from, I have an idea and I don't know what to do next, to I need to raise a lot of money, like $1 million, multiple millions. And my job is to help them work through that process.
And it is a process, isn't it?
It is a long process. So,
is there money available for startups?
Yeah, there is. And I mean, you see people getting funding. I think a lot of people say there isn't because they're not successful getting it. Not every good idea gets funded, and not every good idea finds an investor in Iowa. We're only 1% of the population of the United States. So if you think all the investors are here, you've got to think again.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting story we just had about VenueFox, Andrea and Jared, how they have rethought what they were doing. And, you know, it's curious, and I take no credit for this at all, but I remember they were here on the 25th day of September last year. So it's been almost a year ago, you know? And so when they started out, they were talking about this. And I had in the back of my mind, I thought, well, what's the differentiation point here? What can you, you know, but you know, hey, I'm going with the flow.
No, that's part of the process, right?
It is part of the process.
And guess what? You do parties for people with children. They do a party two or three times a year. You do corporate events. Some people do an event every month. So
and
there's more to the business.
It pays better.
And they pay better. And they have a higher need.
Absolutely. Oh, they do have a higher need.
Sure.
Why would you want to volunteer planning? So I thought it was a cool story. And congratulations to those guys as they redesign and rethink what they're doing. I think, and that happens with businesses all the time. We're always reinventing.
Well, the ones that don't usually go away.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right.
That's part of the process.
Mike Caldwell, ladies and gentlemen, he is with the Business Innovation Zone. And on our newsmaker line is Roby Miller. Roby has a startup called Telfarm. And he's going to be part of the Business Innovation Zone this Wednesday, part of the ongoing series that Mike does. Welcome to the News Hour, Roby.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this idea called Telfarm. We're going to spill all the beans here because people will still want to come and see you and listen to the story. So give us, at its very base point, what are we doing?
Sure. So we're telemedicine for pharmacies.
Right.
We help small rural pharmacies start back up again. Typically, there's quite a few of these rural pharmacies that are closing throughout the United States, and we help share a resource from a larger store into that smaller, low-volume store.
And all of this is being done in kind of a unique way at the same time, using telemedicine to do this, but it can be done for a lot less than what it was previously. Isn't that right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think the old model is more of a point-to-point, not necessarily utilizing the Internet to its full potential. And now that we have broadband out in the rural areas, it's quite less expensive to do web application development. And also just Internet access in general as well, too.
So this is an idea, and it's positive for rural economics as well, because many of these communities were losing their rural pharmacies because it's expensive to hire a pharmacist, trying to keep a pharmacist in that area. Is this dispensed by pharmacists, or is this dispensed by pharmacy workers?
So pharmacies, so there's certified pharmacy technicians
right.
in the telepharmacy, and then you have oversight of a licensed pharmacist that's usually a part of the same company, and they're watching over basically a pharmacist. Their two main responsibility is verifying prescriptions and counseling patients. So in a telepharmacy, every patient gets counseled by a pharmacist via video, and then on the dispensing side, every prescription that goes out of there, the technician grabs an image of it and then sends it over to the pharmacist for the pharmacist to review. So you actually have kind of a two or three more step process than a traditional store,
sure.
but it keeps the accuracy level much higher.
And it's all being done online?
Correct, yep.
All right. So now the patient, do they then visit the brick-and-mortar pharmacy for this consultation?
Yep, so the patient experience is fairly normal compared to a traditional store. So when that patient walks into telepharmacy, they're greeted by the technician. They'll walk over to the tablet there that we have that the pharmacist will connect to them. They do the consultation through the tablet. And what we found out is that usually in a typical traditional pharmacy, you know, there's quite a few people around. It's not the most private area. When you're talking about, you know, your medical needs, and using a video and a tablet, we have a little phone that goes next to it too that is a little headset for the tablet, is that it's more private. No one in the pharmacy can hear what the pharmacist is saying besides the patient right there. So you have a patient who is and then also paying attention to that pharmacist because there's not extra things going around the pharmacy around them as well. So from a patient's perspective, we've actually had really good results from them just because every prescription gets counseled. And typically in a traditional store, not every patient gets counseled by a pharmacist.
Got it. We're visiting with Roby Miller, ladies and gentlemen. He's the founder of something called Telpharm, which at its very base is attempting to serve rural individuals throughout Iowa and the Midwest and the United States, hopefully at some point. Roby, you're not a pharmacist, though, are you?
I am not.
And okay, so what was the genesis of this? Where did this come from?
Sure. So I come from a family of pharmacists, and my family owns some very small rural pharmacies in Iowa. Back in 2011, they closed two of those stores. They were looking for a solution to keep the rest of their stores open as well, too, because they're at that pretty low volume mark where it used to be pretty profitable to own a pharmacy, but with insurance reimbursements declining and specific insurance plans require them to go to the bigger box chains, they're also losing the prescription volume, but also their revenue in those prescriptions.
Sure.
So we looked into, you know, we heard of telepharmacy up in North Dakota. Couldn't really find a solution in the market that necessarily worked. So I took it on as a weekend project to see if this is something that I could build out. I always wanted to learn how to code as well. So I built the very first version of the software, and when we launched that first telepharmacy in Victor, Iowa, we got quite a bit of attention from it. Governor Branstad came out, and we had some other pharmacy owners that were inquiring about the software, and one thing kind of led to the next, and had a business in my hands.
Yeah, and this is all very scalable, I suspect.
Yep. So it's a web application, and with a software company, it's kind of nice because you don't need as many people
right.
To really scale out the application into many pharmacies.
Very nice.
Nice.
And so, Michael, he's going to be here in Des Moines on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday from 11:30 to 1.
And folks can come and get firsthand this conversation.
Yeah, we do a networking event every month. We serve a lunch if you'd like it, and you can sign up at www.bizci.com.
B-I-Z-I-C-I.
We're going to mess this up.
Too many
business. BizCI. Business Innovation Zone Central Iowa. We've messed this up so bad.
I know.
You can call me. It's okay.
Call Michael.
BIZCI.com.
Actually, the best thing to do is go on Google and say, I want the Business Innovation
Zone. That's right. You'll find it. It's on our page. You can sign up.
Roby, congratulations. Nice job. So how's the funding on something like this?
Well, we just closed our Series A round, and we're using that to really scale and grow out the team, and try to get our name out to more states and into other parts of the nation.
And how do you go about doing the selling of this? Is this something where you go to the pharmacy association in the various states, or how does that work? Do you work through the chambers of commerce? How are you marketing this out there? Through trade journals? What?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways. Industry relationships with other software companies, so with pharmacy management systems, drug distribution companies, and then pharmacy associations as well. Those are all kind of our industry relationships. And then we do a little social media advertising as well, too. I mean, even pharmacy owners are on Facebook and Twitter, so we can find them that way. And then just a lot of trade shows, too. There's the pharmacy industry has still quite a few of those going on.
Yeah, everybody's got a trade show, and multiples. Yeah, multiples. Right. Well, congratulations, Roby. I hope that you'll have a big crowd on Wednesday for lunch here at the Business Innovation Zone in Des Moines. Travel safely from Iowa City. And once again, congratulations on your work.
Cool. Thanks for having me. I appreciate your time.
Our pleasure. Roby Miller, ladies and gentlemen, he is Telfarm, and he's going to be speaking and presenting Wednesday about 11:30 at Business Innovation Zone downtown. Mike, thank you for hooking us up, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Always interesting people that you bring along. Mike Caldwell is from the Business Innovation Zone. We're going to step aside for the Wall Street Journal report. Take a look at the stocks of local interest, all that ahead of the agribusiness report, the commodity numbers, and the story has it that we've got visitors from the Iowa League of Heroes coming your way, talking about how you can help others. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.